واستعينه واستغفره. أعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أبريز الله سبحانه وتعالى، and he is the only one worthy of praise. I seek his help, his guidance and his forgiveness. I believe in him and I trust him, and I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't die unless you are Muslims. And after this, I greet you all with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And today, inshallah, which is Tuesday, which is September 29th for the year 98, which is equivalent to the 9th of Jamad al-Thani, the 9th of Jamad al-Thani for the year 1419, after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this class constitute number 27. This is the class, the 27th class for explanation of the book Bulugh al-Maram. The book Bulugh al-Maram, which means the attainment of the objective. This book, which is written by Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani Rahimahullah. And inshallah, our class today is concerning the prayer. Specifically, we're talking today about the traveler prayer. And for those who have the book Bulugh al-Maram, inshallah, we're dealing with chapter number 11. Chapter 11, Babu Salatil Musafir wal Marid. Chapter 11, the prayer of the traveler and the sick person or the patient. And this is page number 152. Salat al-Musafir, the prayer of the traveler, the person who leaves his hometown, going out of his hometown, his city, his village, wherever he lives, going someplace else in another city or another town or another village or another country, for whatever purpose that he may leave in. If he's going for marriage, if he's going for business, if he's going for fun, which inshallah halal fun, okay, if he's going for completing education, whatever purpose that he may traveling for. Now, what is the condition of his salah? And also this chapter covers the prayer of the patient, the mean how he should pray. And Salat al-Musafir had came in the Quran, in the Book of Allah, as well in the authentic hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today inshallah we're dealing with hadith number 341 from the book Bulugh al-Maram. Hadith number 341, وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت أول ما فرضت الصلاة ركعتان فأقرت صلاة السفر وأتمت صلاة الحضر. متفق عليه. This narration from Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send his mercy upon both of them, that Aisha reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, reported, or she said, describing the salah in the beginning of al-Islam, she said the salah prayer was prescribed as consisting of two rak'at, and it was afterwards established as prayer during traveling, and the prayer at the place of residence was completed, that means four. Okay, so in the beginning of al-Islam, the salah used to be two rak'at. This in the beginning of al-Islam, awwal ma furidat as-salah, in the beginning when the salah became obligatory, it used to be two rak'at. Okay, فأقرت في السفر. Okay, that means during the traveling the salah had remained as is. وأتمت صلاة الحضر, and the salah of الحضر been completed up to four. So from this hadith we understand the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by prescribing the prayer in the beginning of al-Islam, making two, making it easy on the Muslims. Okay, number two, we understand from this hadith that the salah been increased later on to four, and this is salat al-Dhuhr, al-Asr and al-Isha. Number three, we understand from this hadith that Salat al-Musafir been remaining as the same way that the starting of al-Islam, that mean two rak'at. In another version, which is the version of al-Bukhari, ثُمَّ هَاجَرَ, that mean Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَفُرِضَتْ أَرْبَعًا وَأُقِرَّتْ صَلَاةِ السَّفَرَ عَلَى الْأَوَّلِ. The other version, which in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari, is saying when Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Mecca to Medina, it was prescribed as four. So the salah been changed after he left Mecca and he went to Medina and became four rak'at. But prayer while traveling was left according to the original prescription. Okay? Wazada Ahmad, in another version or addition, been narrated by the in the collection of Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, in his book, إلا المغرب, except صلاة المغرب, فإنها وتر النهار. Okay, that mean صلاة المغرب was a different case. It is the witr of the day. That means the odd number. Okay, odd number like 1, 3, 5, 7, all this is called odd number. So Salat al-Maghrib was the odd number of the day, and was also exception as-Subh, the morning prayer. Okay, due to the long recitation. So we understand that the change happened in Salat al-Zuhr, Salat al-Asr, Salat al-Isha. Okay, that is no change happened in Salat al-Maghrib, neither in Salat al-Subh. Okay, and all these versions and all this tradition are authentic. Hadith number 342 reported by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقصر في السفر ويتم ويصوم ويفطر, رواه الدارقطني وروايته ثقات إلا أنه معلول. This hadith has defect, and this hadith is different from the authentic hadith that we just narrated, that the one in Bukhari and Muslim. So this hadith has a defect. We are not going to accept it due to the defect that in it. And the hadith number 343 in page 153, وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله يحب أن تؤتى رخصه كما يكره أن تؤتى معصيته, رواه أحمد وصححه ابن خزيمة وابن حبان, وفي رواية كما يحب أن تؤتى عزائمه. In this hadith, إن الله يحب. So this hadith confirm the description to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the attributes of Allah that Allah loves, as well as the description or the qualities of hate. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. And there is some people whom Allah loves, and there is some people whom Allah hates. And the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will confirm it without saying how. And also will confirm hate, that Allah hates, and Allah knows best how. And that the love of Allah and the hate of Allah fits His magnificence and His greatness. The same way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Sami' and the human being hears. So Allah hears and we hear. Allah is alive and we are alive. But the life of Allah is not similar to our life. Neither the hearing of us is similar to Allah's hearing. So every names which we attributed to Allah, and every quality which we attributed to Allah, comes accordingly, according Allah and the greatness of Allah. So believe in all the attributes of Allah and the description of Allah and the names and the qualities of Allah without saying how. Without saying that is like ours, neither we negate or reject them. So this hadith had informed us that Allah loves and Allah hates. Okay? And one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves it, is what? That you carry out His permissions. That means to take in consideration, or a take and carry in action, whatever He made it easy in you. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made things easier on you. Now this we call it rukhsa. Okay? That Allah had permit you, that Allah make something easier on you, make exception for you. Okay? So this exception that Allah made it for you in a certain time, Allah will love for you to exercise it. That Allah loves you to carry it out. Okay? Because it's like a gift. Allah give it to you. And by you rejecting this, as if you acting that you too big, okay, or too good to accept what Allah given you. So when you carry out and practice the exceptions or the permissions or the specialities that Allah gave it to you, Allah loves you. And Allah loves this act. The same way that Allah, He dislike you carrying out His haram things. Okay? So the same way that Allah hates for you of doing the haram, okay, Allah, He will love for you to carry His speciality. Okay? So what one of the speciality of Allah, one of the special things, that He made the salah for you 2 rak'at when you travel. This is special. Something especially that Allah gave it to the traveler from the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So should we do this? Yes. Why? Because this is a gift Allah gave it to us, and this brings the love of Allah for you to do whatever He permitted you to do, and He will love this the same way He hates that you do the disobedience and the acts that He forbid for you to do. This in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and is authentic. Yes, the word yuhibbu, this is mean to love. Okay, the word yuhibbu means to love, and the word yakrahu means dislikes or hates. Okay, and the word ma'asiyatu from ma'asiyah means disobedient. Okay? Inna means verily. Allah Almighty, yuhibbu, He loves, and that, tu'ta, okay, to carry out, okay, to exercise, to do, okay? Ata means to come, but tu'ta, to come in this hadith and this sentence, okay, come to me, okay, or ataytu هذا المكان, that mean I went to this place or I came to this place. But tu'ta here from ata, to come, means to carry out, to do. Rukhasu, His permissions, His exceptions, His specialities. Okay, kama, similar. Yakrahu, dislike or hates. And that tu'ta, again, to carry out ma'asiyah. Ma'asiyatu, the word ma'asiyah, the disobedience, the haram things. Rawahu Ahmad, that mean Ahmad reported. Wasahahahu, that Ibn Khuzaymah make it sahih. And Ibn Hibban. وفي رواية, in another version, كما يحب أن تؤتى عزائمه. Okay, that mean in another version that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He likes His duties to be established. That mean the same way Allah loves you to carry the obligatory, He also what? He loves you to do the exceptions. So this exception for the traveler to make 2 rak'at, so the same way Allah loves you to make Maghrib, Allah, He loves you to make Zuhr 2 rak'at when you travel. Okay? So there is 2 versions in this hadith. حديث نمبر 344 in page number 154. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه. Now I want you to pay attention, because now you're going to see why we're going to come to the conclusion that Salat al-Musafir is only two rak'at, and that you must make it two rak'at. Okay? To such a degree that some of the school of thoughts and some of the scholars, they reach to the opinion and the conclusion, if you pray it four rak'at, is not acceptable from you. You see? So number one, we hear is that we understood what? That Allah loves you to do this. So how you can leave something that Allah loves it and you do it to something different? Doesn't make sense? No way. Okay? Hadith number 344 in page 154. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا خرج مسيرة ثلاثة أميال أو ثلاثة فراسخ صلى ركعتين رواه مسلم. This hadith reported by Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, radiallahu anhu, in the collection of Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic. And the hadith is concerning the destination of shorten the prayer. Actually, they call it shorten it, but it's not short, because like said, that this is the Salah of Al-Musafir. Salat Al-Musafir is two rak'at, so it's not short. This is the Salah of Al-Musafir. But the term short is comparing to the regular Salah that we pray, because we don't travel every day. So the exception, okay. So actually the term short is not the best term to use, okay, because Salat al-Musafir is two, is not four. So there is no short in there. But if you compare it to the regular prayer, is what is called it short, okay? So here Anas is relating, say, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Kana idha kharaja, when he used to go out, Masira, walking distance, of thalathat amyal, 3 miles, or thalathat farasikh, okay? The farsakh is a destination that they used to use it, which is 4 miles. So if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to travel 3 miles or 3 farsakh, so 3 farsakh time 4 will be what? 12. That means 12 miles. Salla raq'atayn. Okay? Salla raq'atayn. This is according the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how is the village or the city there? If you go outside something like 3 miles, you are not in town anymore. And 3 miles, okay, you imagine you walking 3 miles, okay, now is no more houses, or 12 miles, like going from here to St. Andrews as example, okay, St. Andrews exit. So by the time in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the time you go to St. Andrews, this is not his town anymore, it's no more houses, okay. So the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he step out of his living place 3 miles, or here there is, the narrator is not sure, or 3 miles or 3 farsakh, okay, that he used to make what? He used to pray 2 rak'at instead of 4 rak'at. So this used to be to them as a traveling. Yes. The farsakh is 4 miles. So if the farsakh 4 miles and he's saying 3 farsakh, so 3 times 4, so by miles will be what? 12 miles. Why? No. Okay, listen. The farsakh. Okay, the farsakh. How many miles?
In one farsakh is equivalent to 3 miles.
Where? Who told you this?
That's what I'm saying. He's saying right.
Oh, it's written there.
Yeah, it's written.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I asked you before.
Okay. We have to go to somebody who know better. You understand? My understanding is 4, okay, but 3 or 9 is some. This is something that they estimated. It can be 3. It can be 4. Okay. According my information, 1 farsakh is equal to 4 miles. But you see, the narrator even he was not sure 3 miles or 3 farsakh. So there is still difference between 3 miles and 9 miles, or 3 miles to 12 miles. You see? But still, the point here that in that time, this your village is so small that you, when you step outside, you walk 3 miles, you're already out of the city limit. Okay? Or 9 miles, you're already out of the city limit. And this will consider for them like traveling. Okay? Alright. And in this case, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray 2 rak'at instead of 4 rak'at. The next hadith, which hadith number 346, narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, قال أقام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم 19 يوما يقصر وفي لفظ بمكة 19 يوما, رواه البخاري. So the first hadith number 345, it talk about the destination. Now this hadith is talking about the time wise. Okay, so hadith reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, and in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari, which is authentic, that Rasulullah s.a.w. stay in Mecca, or he shortened his prayer, or he prayed 2 rak'at, okay, for 19 days. In one narration he said that he was in Mecca, because the original place now after migration, Medina. So when he went to Mecca for the grand, for the opening Mecca or taking Mecca back, and he stays there to establish and get things in order and take over, it took 19 days. So during this time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing what? 2 rak'at. 2 rak'at for Zuhr, 2 rak'at for Asr, 2 rak'at for Isha. 19 days. And in another version by Abu Dawood, 17. Okay? And another version, 15. Okay? Different narration from different people, that it may be the add the day of traveling and the day of arrival, things like this. But this is different narration that all of them shows you that was not a matter of a day or two, that he was there all this time and he was making 2 rak'at instead of 4 rak'at. The other narration which reported by Imran ibn Husayn, that he mentioned 8 days. Okay? Yeah. But there is another narration by Jabir and this concerning Tabuk, and this narration concerning other place called Tabuk, the battle of Tabuk, okay, towards the Medina, out of the Medina direction, and that he, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was there for 20 days. But this narration concerning Jabir and the incident that took place in Tabuk is not authentic, is weak. There is a defect, okay, in this narration. Excuse me. No, the one I said not 8 days, they say 18 days. Sorry, excuse me for this. Okay. Now, even the English, you understand, say 18 days, okay? This is the one by Imran ibn Husayn, okay? The narration that 18 days, okay? The narration that Imran ibn Husayn, this is the one say 18 days, this is the narration which is weak. Okay, the narration that was before this, which he reported by Ibn Abbas, mentioning about 19, okay, this one in Bukhari, and this is authentic, okay. As I said, the one that says 17 days, okay, which by Abu Dawood, okay, that possibility that they add the day of traveling and the day in and out. But basically what we understand from this version, the authentic one and the weak one, that was a time that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had stayed out of Medina, and he was there in Mecca for this period, and that he shortened the prayer, or he prayed two rak'at during all this time. Hadith number 347. Okay. So as I mentioned again, in case there is any misunderstanding, the version of Abu Dawood, okay, which reported by Imran ibn Husayn, this is the one that I meant that to be a da'if. Okay? Hadith number 347. This is the one by Anas. And this is in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, which is authentic. That كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا ارتحل قبل أن تزيغ الشمس أخر الظهر إلى وقت العصر ثم نزل فجمع بينهما فإن زاغت الشمس قبل أن يرتحل صلى الظهر ثم ركب صلى الله عليه وسلم متفق عليه. The hadith is reported by Anas and in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim. And talking also about combining the prayer. Okay? So, when Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to prepare his camel or his ride for traveling, now he will observe the sun. Okay? If the sun didn't decline, didn't reach the middle of the sky and move little bit down, which it will be the time for Zohr, so he will go, okay, he doesn't wait, and he will combine the Zohr with the Asr, wa alaykum salam, later on in the time of Asr, okay. But if he prepare his ride and he's about to leave and time of Zohr is in, that means the sun already passed the middle of the sky, okay? So that means time of Zohr is in, he will do what? he will do Dhuhr before he leave, and he do what also? He will combine Asr with the Dhuhr before he leave. So it's not the time for Asr, it's time for Dhuhr. But because he's going to travel, he will bring the Asr to the time of Dhuhr, and he will combine both of them. That means after he finished Dhuhr, 4 rak'at, he will say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. He will end the Dhuhr by this. And after this, the Iqama will be established for Salat al-Asr, and he will pray Asr what? 4 rak'at. And after this, he will go about his trip. Alright? This was this hadith talking about. In another narration, which by Al-Hakim, in Al-Hakim, في الأربعين, and is authentic, صلى الظهر والعصر ثم ركب. Because you notice that the first one is say what? He prays Zuhr only. But the second one he said what? He will pray Zuhr and Asr. Okay? So, it shows you that they are combining the prayer even before the prayer is in, if you are planning to travel. The next narration, which for Abu Na'im, كان إذا كان في سفر فزالت الشمس صلى الظهر والعصر جميعا ثم ارتحل. The same thing which is authentic also. Okay? So it depends if the time of Dhuhr is in or not in. So a person doesn't say, okay, I have to leave, but there is a half hour before Dhuhr. No, you don't have to wait. Go ahead, and later on you combine what? Dhuhr and Asr later on in the time of Asr. Okay? Okay, in this case, how many rak'at the person will pray Dhuhr? 2 rak'at, because he already left before the time of Dhuhr, and now is time that he's during his traveling, he will shorten the prayer. Yes, he will pray Dhuhr first, for sure. Always go according the order of the prayer. You have to pray Dhuhr first, and after this you will make the Taslim after 2 rak'at, and after this you make Iqama and pray Asr 2 rak'at. Hadith number 348, and عن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله تعالى عنه قال خرجنا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في غزوة تبوك فكان يصلي الظهر والعصر جميعا. Okay, this hadith reported by معاذ بن جبل, may Allah be pleased with him, and in the collection of Imam Muslim, so hadith is authentic. That we went with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the expedition of Tabuk, Ghazwat Tabuk, one of the battles that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went for, and the Sahaba went with him. فَكَانَ يُصَلِّ الظُّهْرَ وَالْعَصْرَ جَمِيعًا. Now he's talking about while they were there, stationary there. Okay? Not they about to go to Tabuk, no, they already in Tabuk. They already stationary, sitting there. Okay, waiting or establishing or putting their tents, they already sitting there, and they used to do what? They used to combine the prayer, Dhuhr and Asr together. Okay, فَكَانَ يُصَلِّ الظُّهْرَ وَالْعَصْرَ جَمِيعًا. He used to pray Dhuhr and Asr together. And together means what? One after the other. That means he did not pray Dhuhr in time of Dhuhr and wait until Asr comes. Okay? This what mean by together. Not that he joined both of them together. Okay? 2 rak'at, taslim out. 2 rak'at, taslim out. The next hadith, which hadith number 349, in page 156. Okay? عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تقصر الصلاة في أقل من 4 برد من مكة إلى عسفان. رواه الدارقطني بإسناد ضعيف, والصحيح أنه موقوف. Okay. the hadith is weak if you say that this hadith is marfu'. That means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. But if you say that Ibn Abbas is saying, now will be authentic because this is mawquf. Okay? Alright, this is from the saying of Ibn Abbas. Okay? So Ibn Abbas saying that the salah not to be shortened except in a distance, okay, of 4 burud. Okay, not less than this. Al-burud is 4 farsakh. Okay? And the farsakh is 4 mile. So that means 4 times 4, 16. 16 times 4, 64. Okay? So this is the saying of Ibn Abbas that you are not supposed to shorten a prayer in less than this. Okay. In actuality, there is no authentic hadith from the saying of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say how many miles or how many farsakh or how many burud for you to shorten your prayer. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he explained to them by his action that whatever is understood to be safar, traveling, you shorten the prayer. Whatever you consider it is safar, a traveling, not safar, that means he's suffering from something. This is the word in Arabic. The word safar means to travel. Okay? Safar. Not the word suffer in English, like he's suffering from sickness or illness or sinus or whatever it is. Okay? Safar, seen, fa-ra, mean to travel. Okay? And whenever the person go out of his town, that is no more housing, no more anything called Colombia anymore, and now like you get in the highway and after St. Andrews and what you call this, the next few exits, you found no more housing, and now you start, you found something different. Or when you go to the other way after airport exit, about 2-3 exits more, nothing going on, until you found Orangeburg after this. Okay? And you leave Orangeburg about 5-10 miles, no more housing, and after this you found Augusta, and you go for Augusta 10-15 miles, and after this nothing there until you see Atlanta. So whatever, when this housing and this surrounded area and what you call the city or the town limits is no more housing, that means you are out of town now. Okay? You are out of town now, and now you can shorten your prayer. Okay? So there is no special distance being made by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whatever consider traveling to you called traveling, okay, or commonly known as a traveling, regardless is going to take you an hour or going to take you a day. Because if you ride a camel from here to Orangeburg, it may take a day and a half. Okay? If you go by a car, it is going to take you an hour. If you go by airplane, it may be take you 10 minutes. Okay? So it doesn't matter whatever you're traveling, the means of traveling. Okay? Traveling is traveling. The next hadith, hadith number 350, we are not bothering with it. The hadith is weak. And the next hadith, hadith number 351, وعن عمران ابن حسين رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كانت بي بواسير. Now he's here switching to another subject, which is the subject of a sick person, what he should do. Okay? But before I come to this, I want to finish something concerning the Salat al-Musafir. read hadith which is not narrated here in Subul in Bulugh al-Maram, and the hadith from Ya'la ibn Umayyah, and the hadith is sahih, is authentic, is in the collection of Ibn Majah and the Tirmidhi and Abu Dawood, and it says that sadaqa tasaddaq Allahu biha alaykum faqbalu sadaqata, that short in the prayer is a sadaqa, is a charity been given to you from Allah, so accept his charity.